Well, boys, looks like you started the fun without me.
You're all sick. Every last one of you.
We're going to need a bigger gun.
What's the matter? You scared of things that go boom, boom, boom?
Give me one goddamn reason why I shouldn't blow your goddamn brains all over that goddamn wall.
My name is Eric 13, and here to end world boredom with me is Michael Kester.
I'm just here to pique your interest.
The most exciting co-host on the entire podcast.
Thanks, I'm excited to be here today.
I left the screaming goat in the other room, so what are you going to do?
I'm going to go hard NPR today. Make sure to round out my consonants.
It's hard to do that. It's very
ASMR. Difficult. Welcome to Double Feature ASMR.
Well, don't ASMR, because I actually edit all the mouth-licking sounds out of the show, but those are in now, so it's kind of a shame. It's kind of a shame, but that would save me a lot of editing if we could both try and just keep it midnight here on Double Feature. I'm sure we'll be squealing and laughing in about 40 seconds, though, so
there's one. You got one name you got to say, and you know where it goes from there.
Oh, no. So we're going to cover a couple of movies on the show today.
A pair of films. But two great tastes that go great together.
Before we announce said films, I have some news for you.
Okay.
It's happened. We have once again made our Patreon goal.
Oh, shit.
Can you believe that? Yeah.
Isn't it like the beginning of the month? That's
well,
good,
I
right?
Mean,
that's when
I'm
you want to do it?
Reporting in from the end
it?
Of the, yeah, I'm reporting
okay,
in from the
cool.
end of the month.
So you're reporting in from the past.
Yes. Well, we didn't know last time.
Yeah.
That's because of the time. And this is how time works. I'll explain time later.
Sure. Moves forward.
Usually.
Does time dream of itself?
Oh, we'll find out in today's double feature. The thing you're missing that perhaps you have not put together is that means additional content has returned.
Ooh. Yeah, I wasn't putting that together.
Yeah, see, I had that reaction too.
Wait, is this an additional content show right now?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's a railroad.
We're on a fireside chat because they're all...
You tricked me.
They're all fireside chats, but it's not an additional content show. Not fucking yet. Here's what I'd like to know. I've had far too many ideas that I love and then hate 2 weeks later over the course of time while we've been waiting on this.
Which is funny. You and I end up having the same feeling on these ideas. It's just I come to that conclusion like way before you.
Yeah, on hating my own ideas. Well, right, just so we both hate my ideas.
Well, just hating any of our AC ideas. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Not just yours. You just come up with a lot of them. So it feels like heavily in your court.
Right. Well, I'd like to keep the additional content theme-centric. I mean, everything's theme-fucking-centric around here. But I would like to keep it... I'd like to come up with an idea of a thing to talk about that has something to do with cinema.
Okay.
And discuss that openly without the need to ask everybody to watch movies first.
Ooh, okay.
And so... I think people should maybe have a look at the old additional content, see some of the non-film episodes we did. And I'd actually just, I think if we're going to hate on the themes for additional content, let's let the audience pick some themes and then we can hate on theirs instead.
Yeah, whatever. Sure.
Send some ideas. I don't know if we'll pick one. I don't know what we're going to do. This is the only one we've had so far this year. So, you know, it's a little precious. But double feature show at iCloud.com. Just come up with, hey, why don't you discuss this kind of thing? And I don't know, we'll talk about it and we'll see if that's going to happen. But we don't have a lot of time. I want to put one of these together. So double feature show at iCloud.com. Patreon.com/double feature. Thank you so much for actually putting a dollar in the machine. Hey, that finally worked out. Cool. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing this time?
We're going to talk about how the internet ruins everything. So thanks, Patreon subscribers.
Ah, God damn it. Had to be this show, didn't it?
We're going to, it's sort of a discussion on the perils of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to a certain degree, alarmism in those regards. So we're going to do a film called Lo and Behold, The Reveries of the Connected World. And then we're going to pair that with a film. I mean, this is a film most people have seen. It's a Mike Judge movie called Lo and Behold, Idiocracy.
The 2006 vision of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Always fun to do that. Poor Idiocracy on the 2006 component of that. I'm so excited about this particular episode because these are movies that just, they're so rich with fucking things to talk about. My internal resistance to the most obvious components, but also, you know, wanting to seize on the things that the films are doing. So I could just go fucking anywhere. I think the first thing we should do is figure out is Lo and Behold first.
Yes.
So we're going to spoil. Here it is. Werner Herzog's Lo and Behold. Say it with a straight face. Werner Herzog. Say it like he does with a straight face.
Yeah.
Werner Herzog's Lo and Behold. And then we will spoil Idiocracy after that. Here's the reason I have so much fucking trouble with this. We do all these episodes of the show. I'm never qualified to talk about anything. This is the one area that I have academic expertise on that I'm actually like qualified to talk about a thing. And suddenly I have even more to say than usual.
But it's like more dated than Idiocracy.
Probably. That's probably it.
I think to me, the reason that this is the best show we've ever done.
just front load it. Why is this the best episode of Double Feature? Tell me.
Because this is the closest any of you mortals will ever get to Mike Judge having a conversation with Werner Herzog, which is the actual best thing that we could have brought you, but we can't bring you that.
So sad.
We stopped
so
doing, sad. We could have, but we stopped doing guests on the show. So we opted out of it.
That would be so great to just trick two people on at the same time. Just two unlikely. We just go,
hey, would you like to come on as a guest on our podcast? Both of them would be like, just call this number at the same time.
Oh man.
And see how long it takes two celebrities to figure out whom they're talking to.
Would I pay $2 a month to hear those guys talk? Yes, I would.
But too bad. You're listening to Double Feature.
Well, we do have things now like this Cameo thing while we're talking about internet dystopia. You've seen Cameo, right? Where you pay a celebrity to record a thing for you.
Yeah.
Like you give some celebrity $50 and they record a little thing you wrote on a camera.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting to this is more of the fun late stage capitalism era that we are in America and on planet Earth, and perhaps we'll get to that. Until then, we have Werner Herzog walking us through what I thought would be a much more technologically cynical, although maybe it is. What is your read on what he thinks? You watch this thing, it talks about technology. You know, good and bad. Obviously, he's weaving a kind of, not even a narrative arc, but an emotional journey through this that's forefront in his mind. He's exploring and he's letting you see the work. Where do you think he lands?
I think Werner Herzog thinks the internet is stupid.
Do you?
Yes, I think fundamentally.
Okay, let me back up just really quick. Where does Werner Herzog land on befriending a grizzly bear then? Is it stupid?
I think stupid. Yeah.
I think. So now I can interpret your opinions as through the lens of how you view Grizzly Man.
I think Werner Herzog tends to look at a lot of parts of the human experience and go, isn't this stupid? Why did people do this?
Is that what's implied? I mean, I have trouble reading.
Do you remember Fitzcarraldo? Do you think that was him being like, what a brazen genius? Or was that him being like, what a stupid man?
This is one of the issues we always have covering Herzog is nothing can ever be more interesting in a Werner Herzog movie than Werner Herzog.
I think that's...
And that's part of it for me is that I can't ever really figure out his read.
The playground of this film is perfect for that because I mentioned this before we started recording, but... There's this false dichotomy that there are two types of intelligence. There's two kinds of people in this world, Eric.
Tell me about it.
There's book smarts and there's street smarts. And you're one or you're the other, or you're neither and you're a chump.
Mm-hmm.
Get taken advantage by the other two.
Two kinds of people, book smarts, street smarts, and a chump. Got you.
Right.
And those who can count. That's
removing
the fifth,
outliers. That's the fifth there kind. Are two kinds of people in this world.
Great. Wow. Glad we succinctly laid that groundwork there.
this movie is amazing because it puts somebody with less expertise than you in a room with somebody with an infinite amount more expertise than you. You personally, Eric.
Yeah.
And it feels like a group of intellectual peers discussing something. And I think that level of, there's a level of intellectualism that Werner Herzog brings to these technologically savvy individuals that I think they forgot about.
What do you mean?
I think that you look at somebody like Elon Musk, who has a lot of answers to a lot of questions, until you start asking questions like, does the internet dream of itself? And I think it sort of brings, I think it awakens the part of Elon Musk that wanted to be an astronaut when he was 8.
Oh, sure.
Talking to Werner Herzog about these things that he's achieved, because I think that sort of, what's the best way to put it? It feels sort of like anthropomorphizing facts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that, I think, is fascinating.
Well, it gets to the vision part of it.
Yes, right, there you go.
It gets to the, when you're in the bubble of Silicon Valley, you spend a lot of time with your nose down thinking about the work. And I mean, that bubble has all sorts of fascinating problems and is probably why the world is so terrible in regards to technology today. But there are dreamers. Most of the people who start there start as dreamers. And some people stay connected with that, but very few do. I think even somebody like Elon Musk has to be tainted by the actual work itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start with, what if the world was like, Steve Jobs was probably the most famous example of this. I mean, the things he came up with while on LSD, you know,
mm-hmm.
he would stick to allowing himself, or maybe it wasn't even allowing himself. Maybe this was just how it was hardwired. The ability to dream up, what if the future was like this, and then try mm-hmm. to lead there, even when everyone thought he was a nut job for it.
Right.
And that's a quality today that I think wears off.
Is only, sure.
Well, and then when Herzog walks in, he kind of reignites that
mm-hmm.
in these people. Seeing all of their reactions to his questions are pretty...
There's definitely one other place in modern media that I feel like begs that same question. And I'm just going to go ahead and say that was on purpose, but it wasn't, which is the actual TV show Silicon Valley, which is basically people falling ass backwards into technological advancement because they like to do tech.
Sure.
And that's definitely, I wish we could have done Silicon Valley with Lo and Behold, but you can't.
You got that. Idiocracy is pretty close, right? I mean, you couldn't.
I know,
really,
it's about as close
lot.
As you can get since we already did Office better. Space.
But I love seeing the dreams re-injected and then watching how people, everybody humors him, which I think is part of just,
mm-hmm.
you know, being an infamous documentarian.
Yeah.
But finally, after a handful of these shows where we're talking about Herzog and, you know, how he leaves his own questions in the movie, and what level of self-awareness and all of that, I feel like someone has boiled down my feelings to a single gif-able reaction face. And that is when he's interviewing Musk and he goes, I'll go to Mars. No, really, I'll do it. I'll sign me up. And Elon Musk has this fucking reaction, like a person, like a crazy man has approached him on the street. Like, let me get back to you about that. And just watching other people, especially other academics, have kind of a reaction to that, not just people out in the woods, right? I mean, going back to your division of what kind of smart, but somebody who's really, when I say academics, I guess I just mean people looking for that. People going, who is this fucking weirdo I'm talking to? Because
mm-hmm.
in Grizzly Man, in these other documentaries we've covered, in other Herzog movies, people are ready to kind of get down in the dirt with what he's doing and go along for it.
Right.
And
even the shoe one.
Right. I think in this movie, you know, people are going along an academic train of thought and they are derailed with questions about do robots dream in a way that kind of catching them off guard. I don't know that it says something about them. I don't know that it says something about Herzog, but it says something about humanity in a way that is perfectly fucking Herzogian.
Sure. I mean, I think that the title lends itself to a certain, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Cynicism to the internet. Because I think that, I mean, I know from reading how Werner Herzog feels about the Instagram and Twitter.
Sure, sure.
Despite the fact that he has a Twitter account bot.
You mean Werner Herzbot?
Yeah.
At Werner Herzbot? If you had to pick out a scene from this movie, if you were trying to make the case, you're in a debate and you're going, I think Werner Herzog is cynical about the internet. What do you think embodies that in here? Like, what do you pull out and go, here, watch this clip of this movie and tell me he's not going, fuck the internet?
It's probably when he's talking to the, I can't think of the exact moment, but there's a moment when he's talking to the professor at the college, right? Is it a professor or just a scientist at that college? I can picture the room. Mm. I can't remember.
What are they talking about?
The big yellow room. Mm. They're talking about how the internet is connected.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of
this is not the crazy cut and paste guy who lives on a boat.
Right.
We're not talking about that guy.
Right.
I hope people notice that that guy is on a boat when they're talking.
Yeah.
Feel like that could be lost, but watch that background.
But it's sort of this, it's the point in the film where it's almost like the guy's explaining the internet to Werner Herzog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what the internet is. And it's difficult because it's Herzog, but there's just zero. He's just unimpressed by this massive global achievement. And he goes, yeah, but does it dream of itself? Or
yeah,
he's basically just going, right. What is the point?
Right.
You know, I feel like part of this movie is a little bit about exploring whether the internet is AI, but I just think there's just something in that conversation where he's just so unimpressed by something that is arguably the biggest invention of the last 50 years.
Sure. Well, that's another reason to stick around for Radiocracy too. I feel like the things that have changed on the internet that kind of impact the movie's future really allow us to see that. I think if I had to look at this movie and really go, okay, well, this is pretty cynical. I think the monks in Chicago on their cell phones, yeah, I think that's probably true. An icon that's...
Duh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a couple, you know, there's also talking about the people who sent the, you know, they're talking to the bereaved family who lost the guy's daughter, you know, a member of their family. And he or all of them were sent these brutal fucking images of her semi-decapitated body. I mean, it's just some of the... Listening to him describe that is so brutal and so gruesome. And that comes right on the, you know, the heels of, would that be the phrase? It comes right fucking after the chapter that's talking about folding at home and like using the internet to solve cancer while playing games.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these other moments that are huge, huge blows to the reputation, the overall reputation of the internet, the character witness of the internet. But it's up to the moment of the monks that I still feel like he's doing a little pro-con, or at least allowing other people to do that work for him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about, once we get past cut and paste guy and all that, we're talking about, okay, but what if we literally let nature score a game that solved cancer? Isn't that amazing? And we're also talking about, hey, AI and cars, not the perils of this, although we talk about that a little bit, but if one car gets into an accident, the car collective can learn from this. And it doesn't take the immediate, you know, what could be, what in a documentary at this moment would be the immediate Elon Musk dive into, yeah, but if all the robots learn in a hive mind, they'll, you know, take over and enslave us. It doesn't go that direction. It allows a moment to go, oh, and then they'll become better drivers and we'll all die less, which is an important advancement, maybe going to be one of the most important advancements of our entire lives. Is
you mean when like Lime Scooters buys Uber?
Well, Uber's already got a scooter share thing.
Well, when I just mean like a car share, but it's self-driving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and Uber's working on that, and that's a huge thing. I've kind of talked about this on a couple other shows, that it's going to be very economically displacing and leads into that potential idiocracy future a bit more. But it will also prevent deaths, which I think probably matters more than the economy, if you had to weigh those two things.
I mean, and this is probably a conversation that, I don't know, this is a good bridging conversation. I think that the interesting thing about these two films and sort of the marriage of their ideas comes from where we just landed, which is preserving is preserving human life a worthwhile motive technologically if to do so we have to displace those people's sort of not value intrinsically, but I mean like jobs, right?
Yeah,
it's one thing if we're gonna do, so let's just use driverless cars as an example. Let's use the internet programming an entire massive, massive, massive industry, because self-driving vehicles isn't just fucking Uber drivers out of jobs. It's fucking truck drivers out of jobs.
A whole number percent of the economy we're talking about.
And that's all well and good in two scenarios. It's well and good in one scenario where all of those people get to move into careers, fields, jobs, whatever, where they get paid more, right? Because we're taking a menial project off the table.
But what is it like in the real universe of things that will happen?
Right. So it's also good if we are, if the entire motive is to move toward sort of the idea of a universal basic income,
yeah,
which is insane.
Insane and probably inevitable.
But technology is meant to make life easier for human beings. So when people say things like technology has taken my job, that should be a good thing, right? We should all be moving toward the singularity of robots do everything and we do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Robots take care of all the shit we don't want to do, and all we do is watch movies and record podcasts and give to Patreons, just all the stuff we want to be doing. You know what I mean? Just all the fun things. And unfortunately, this movie paints a really realistic view of both of these movies, paint a painfully realistic view of that going, I don't know, I'd say it's probably like 50-50. It could go one way or the other.
Sure.
I don't see, what were you going to say?
Let me play the role of the misanthrope for a minute.
Sure.
Because on these shows, I'm usually trying to tell people that robots are going to take all our jobs and we need to start talking about this a little bit. But a curious thing that this documentary does that I think goes underplayed is that when we consider all the bad things that happen, and lo and behold, all the negative consequences, it's not the robots took our jobs and now look what we've become. And maybe we're just not there yet. But instead, it's, look, the internet connected us all and we forwarded around pictures of someone's brutally maimed child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or the internet gave us all timelines, and when these monks went to Chicago, all they thought about is timelines. Even the kind of nonsense of cell phone radiation sensitivity, which I wish they would have covered a little more objectively, since that is a psychosomatic disorder and not a physical one.
Mm-hmm.
But these people have retreated to an area in a sort of Luddite sense, because they are having very real emotional problems being around technology. It is actually affecting their lives in a really adverse way. The interesting part of that to me is that it's not a physical disorder. This is like Chuck in his tinfoil house.
Yeah, no, that's all I was thinking right? of too.
In Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
You know, it's something real that is affecting these people. It is making their lives worse and they are going through pain and that should be recognized and they need help. But it's all psychological. It's not cell phone radiation that's causing them pain. It's this, again, it's psychosomatic, right? And so when we look at all of these things, I mean, every fucking one of them, man, we look at the hacker sentences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is another thing that deserves a documentary for another day. But we know now as a society that prisons are full of nonviolent drug offenders, right? That's right. Just every Podmanity's hip to that. We all know that. But a lot of people don't talk about these insane sentences given to hackers who are basically just doing, they're just goofing around on the internet. They're doing totally mm-hmm. harmless things.
Yeah, for the lols.
And the fucking stories I could tell you, man, of people just sentenced to decades in prison because lawmakers and the judiciary doesn't understand what they're doing and right. think they have the superpower to right?
yeah.
whistle it's, into it's phones fucking, and send nukes.
Yeah, it's witchcraft, man.
And again, but what is that? That's not the technology that's causing the evil. It's humans' reaction to the technology.
Sure.
So the thing that I really wish we would talk about more is, you know, the fact that we're not addressing the issues. I'm less hysterical about the inevitability that robots will take the jobs. I don't think that's a can it or should it. I think that's just an inevitability. Whether we want it to happen or not, that's just how technological progress works.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we don't talk about it means that we are unprepared for things like this. We put hackers in prison for multi-decade sentences is the best example to me because it's simply something that doesn't need to happen. It's not even like, how do we get people around a psychosomatic fear? How do we make sure people don't forward terrible, harmful photos,
right?
You know, to victims? I mean, this is just simply don't give people these sentences because you don't understand a thing. And we can't even get to the level of discussing it. Like our level of discourse does not progress nearly as fast as technology, which has always been a problem, but technology is now moving levers of society that are much larger than it's ever moved before. It's never displaced such a large portion of the economy as it's about to.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best I could ever give you for a transition into,
into the
bleak future of Idiocracy.
The other movie today is, yeah, I get it. It's about like a demagogue president from TV. Fuck that. I'm not interested in that. Everybody talks about that and we all get the parallels there. What's really interesting to me is to carry on this conversation that you're bringing up is these little things that have crept into our society through technology, through, like you said, late stage capitalism, but just capitalism in general, that I don't think people ever realize happened or are happening or are increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the most emblematic things in this movie is just a set piece and it's like a running gag, but it's the fucking ads as clothing.
Uh-huh.
And people are like, haha, I get it. Cause like, you know, eventually like ads as clothing, cause like advertising companies will just like own everything. But I don't think people really think about where society has moved even in the last fucking 12, let's say 15 odd years since this movie came out.
Sure. You said years, but you could have said days as well.
Right. That's... I think about this all the time because I'm some of you may not know this about me, but I actually pay attention to like the clothes I wear because I think it's fun to like dress cool.
Oh, Michael's cool.
That's not what I mean, but I mean like, so it's not necessarily that I'm cool, but it's that like I don't wear shirts that have like brand logos on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for the obvious reason. It's because I'm like, I don't want to just walk around giving free ads to fucking Adidas or right. Lacrosse or whatever. Or Casper mattress.
You like to hide your critters in a floral pattern.
So what I do like, yeah, I like, yeah, you're right. I like to, I advertise the things I actually identify with. So like I have all these horror movie shirts and shit like that. But I don't think people really account for the fact that if you look at, especially dudes, if you look at the average guy walking down the street, he's advertising like 8 brands.
Mm.
And it's minor and we've all grown accustomed to it, but that is the leap that isn't as big of a leap that they're making in this movie. And that goes for everything in, I can definitely speak to American society, because 15 fucking years ago, man, different sports stadiums weren't just named after fucking Smoothie King.
Wrigley's.
Yeah. I mean, it's that shit. It's remember when bus stops were benches and not billboards. It's, you know, every advertising creeps into every aspect of human existence. I mean, the level of ads that you see in a day, it's innumerable. You don't even realize it. They did a gag on South Park about ads, which is beautiful. But it's one of those things that this movie like goes like, boom, haha, funny joke. But I'm like, the rationale that has created the world, the consumerism, the instant gratification, the reality TV aspects, you know, the pre-Kardashian phenomenon that media and advertising kind of funnel into middle America. That to me is the part of this movie that I think is the most important. I can't even think of his name. The Terry Crews character.
Camacho, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's the icon, especially in the current state of political affairs in our country. But to me, it's wearing those ads, man. Like that's the part of society where we're going to look back and go, didn't we used to not wear advertisements?
So you're not big on like the latest streetwear trends right now. That's
no,
that's probably bugging the fuck out of you. Yeah. Yeah. I was juggling with you before about the fucking Supreme logo.
Yeah. You know,
plastered all over everything. The thing that gets me about this, and I'm with you 100%, you know, it's less the idea of the free advertising to brands, which also, like, if you're going to advertise something, advertise a thing that you care about that also could use a...
Start a goddamn conversation, man. That's all.
What's the annoying Twitter speak for this? You need a signal boost. That's what I was searching for.
There we go. Yeah.
You know, there are things that need signal boosts. The horror movies we do on this podcast. The fucking no budget horror movies itself. With no... Yeah. Yeah. Double Feature, for instance, which still doesn't have a branded t-shirt that you can wear.
You're welcome.
But you could just run around screaming it. That's fine. But even less... What bothers me even more than that, and one of the great reasons for Idiocracy to exist, one of the things I like about it, again, that I think is unsung. Ads are everywhere. They've been everywhere pretty much my whole life. You walk around a world that is increasingly, but has always been to some degree, filled with billboards.
Mm-hmm.
But what that means is billboards are an aesthetic. Ads are an aesthetic. And the more that ads wallpaper society, the more that ads become the decor of society.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just ugly as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely poorly designed. Well, I'm just so rarely, you know, impressed with an ad's design. They just seem to have a tendency towards getting louder and grosser all the time.
They're definitely not aimed at the Herzogs of society.
It doesn't fit my fucking aesthetic, man. It's not the world I want to live in. I would like to opt into a world without ads, whatever the other cost of that may be. And that is simply not an option for being alive on Earth, especially in the United States.
Sure. Well, and it's, do you remember Vaporwave?
Yes.
Vaporwave, I mean, is a fucking, that's exactly what this is. Like, so Vaporwave was this, and I say was because it's fucking over.
I don't know, man. Alive and well in San Francisco. They're still about that vaporwave up there.
Those people are fucking...
That was a big part of hacker culture, too. was vaporwave.
Those people are 2014 goths, man. Those are, they need to put it away.
Yeah. No, I know. I know what you're saying. Vapor, do you want to summarize vaporwave or do you want me to?
Yeah, so vaporwave is sort of this aesthetic. It's basically like a combination of D'Antwoord Zeph style and like shitty clip art from Windows 95. Imagine, you know, the... sort of the classic vaporwave imagery is something along the lines of the old Polaroid logo combined with that like stock paper cup you got at the mall.
It's like if a SoundCloud shitpost was a physical ad that you could look at that is, yeah. That is vaporwave.
And it's sort of a pastel, intentionally loud aesthetic that's usually accompanied by being extremely chill in an aesthetic on top of that.
Which kind of came in part from the clone stamp aesthetic of street graffiti that we've talked about on, say, a documentary like Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Right.
Which was even done, you know, or to go back even further and from that documentary, Warhol.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of repetition of image. And I feel like that too got less and less classy over time.
Sure.
Until it just became, what are the two most obnoxious colors we can pick and the loudest image and the most grotesque thing to look at? It's just like this eyeball gonorrhea. I just can't stand it. Even vaporwave, I have more of a soft spot for because of the culture than I do, say, pick any bus stop ad right now.
Yeah.
It kills me.
Right.
And Idiocracy builds a world of these things and pushes it further. It goes, what's the Carl's Jr., fuck you, I'm eating?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of, this is maybe one of the most intentionally quotable movies we've ever done. And the slogans are idiotic as fuck. And the power is that it's, you know, what's really kind of clever about it, it's using the sheer number of catchphrases to criticize the idea of the catchphrase itself by amplifying and moving forward down this trajectory, doing this sort of futurism, this sort of look into what could be. It's hyperstyling the things we have today that are aggravating and annoying and trending higher and higher and higher and painting a world that kind of goes, look, the way Mike Judge probably sees the world, very similar to the way I see the world, which is very aggravating. And why are there fucking ads everywhere?
Right.
And when you create a world where even the goddamn drinking fountains are ads, then it's kind of a way to bring people into the they live sense of showing them,
yeah,
like, why isn't this bothering you guys? Are you not seeing it as much as I'm seeing it? What if this continues? You know, if it truly was full saturation, would it finally hit? And I did think that, I think that part catches on with people as much as it's not why the movie's referenced. I think it's hard to watch this movie and not have that hit.
Sure. I mean, I definitely just watch Idiocracy, and in the context of today's show, I just go, this is how Werner Herzog sees everything.
It could be, right? I mean, this might
he's
be
just
better,
walking around going, ugh, society. And he just sees Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Like he's got the They Live glasses implants and it's just Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Everywhere he goes. And he goes, I guess I'll make documentaries to see if maybe someone will realize how stupid this is.
It's funny the things for 2006 that it focused on. You know, obviously, like you said, there's the obnoxious political stuff and what it gets referenced all the time for. But I feel like the issues of the day were the things that did not prevail. And the cynicism was, at least for today's show, the thing that definitely prevailed. Like the garbage, right? Garbage is not a prevailing issue that today we look at it and go, wow, Idiocracy was right about all the trash. It basically seems like about as much of a problem. We're destroying the earth better than ever before, but that wasn't really the focus. Or the, you know, the idea of television becoming, oh no, even more like MTV's Jackass, that didn't really turn out to be the issue. And I think a lot of that is, like I was saying back in Lo and Behold, it's a lack of the internet back then, especially social media. This is a pre-social media movie, really.
Right.
And so many of this particular moment's ills are as a result of apps that have timelines. A show that, should you ever see me in the wild, dear Podmanity, just say the word social media and I will perform a 17-hour long rant for you, as I am apt to do to anybody who ever texts me the fucking phrase. But I think, you know, one of the things that perhaps is not misanthropic and is not, you know, a note that can pull us out of the cynicism is, for as much as I think Facebook's ruining the planet and Instagram is Facebook and people for some reason don't understand that and all of that good stuff, if garbage would have been the thing that I was ranting about in 2006 and social media is the thing today, maybe we should take a wider look here. Maybe in 10 years, the social media thing won't fucking matter at all. It'll just be another issue of the day that we found our way around. And maybe we should be the people that in 10 years, we're not going, why weren't they talking about the things that mattered? The hard part today is just finding the fucking things that matter. You know, if it turns out to not be social media and that's not what led us to Idiocracy World, then really the question of Idiocracy is, how did we get there? How do we arrive there? How do we stop that? And I love Idiocracy is just sort of like, I don't know, go back in time, tell people to maybe read more or do art. Like, they don't really have an answer either, except of course for the opening of the film, which just as a vignette is pure brilliance. There are a few short form things that have stuck with me so much in my life since seeing them as the opening of Idiocracy. If for some reason you didn't watch the movie or you haven't seen it, go back and watch. Just, it's one of those great movies, like, tell yourself if you don't like the first 12 minutes, you're not going to stay. But you can't not like that 12 minutes. It's so bold. It's so powerful. And it just looks so effortless. You know, it's just jokes. It plays on like a sketch, but it has so much power in it. It's like a fucking TED Talk before there were TED Talks, acted out about how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, its opinion is just completely cynical and that stupid people procreate more and maybe shouldn't vote. I don't know, maybe I'm embellishing a little bit. Anyways, now that we've opened all the cans of worms, the website is patreon.com/doublefeature. You can also go through the back catalog if you are a Patreon member, and we've done some fine Werner Herzog movies. We have done Office Space as well, where we got to talk about Mike Judge a bit before, and a whole host of other internet-related things. I will recommend, as always, like I do, Ingrid Goes West, aka The Story of My Life. I want to also plug executive producers, but I need you to vamp before I do that.
Cool. So one of the things that's really funny about the pair we're doing next week is that there was actually like an alarm bell that went off in my head when I went, we need to put these two movies together. It's really obvious once you watch these two movies. But there's actually a thematic thing that joins the two films.
Michael promises a thematic thing. Next time on Double Feature, what could it be? I want to thank Aaron Shore, Abbott of Unreason, Ben Ecker, Brett Hayton, Charles Crawford, David Anderson, sorry, Charles, John, Jordan Sells, Mark Abbott, and Tom Leonard. You guys are the greatest. That's all I wanted. It's patreon.com/doublefeature to become an executive producer of the show, get a back catalog, or just ensure that we're still around by the time we record that additional content.
Great. May I continue?
What are the two movies?
Next week, we're going to cover Jean-Pierre Jeunet's Delicatessen, and we're going to cover the movie about the marmalade bear.
Jean-Pierre Jeunet and Mark Caro. What is the marmalade bear?
Marmalade Bear, Paddington.
Paddington, great.
It's like a cute double feature about like really serious events that are just made lighthearted when these sort of whimsical outsiders enter very structured scenarios. Bonus bathroom gag. Watch more fucking film.
Bye.
This program is a proud member of the Battleship Pretension Fleet.